You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage with Andy Bush. We're talking with Douglas Holtz-Eakin from American Action Forum. Doug, let's get to tax reform. We now know that Paul Ryan is going to take the reins of the Central Tax Writing Committee in Congress, the House Ways and Means Committee. This week, Ryan said he would focus on doing corporate tax reform first. Is this good news or bad news for getting something done?
I think it's a statement of realism. We don't have any evidence that the White House is open to the kind of thing that Dave Camp pushed through, which is lower individual rates while you lower the corporate rate and think about the system as a whole. The White House just isn't going to move on the individual income tax. So that leaves business taxation. We have a corporate code that's it's the worst of all worlds. It's anti-growth. It's anti-international competitiveness. It's hard to comply with, and it raises almost no revenue. So it's a target for doing better, no question. And it's good to hear Paul Ryan focusing on it.
Well, and there's certainly top of mind with the inversions that have been going on in this past year. Obviously, here in the wonderful state of Illinois, we had Walgreens back away from doing an inversion, primarily because the pressure from, obviously, the Senator Dick Durbin, but also the changes in the rules by the Treasury Department. Those are not exactly what you want as far as pushing forward on reform.
No, I mean, that was, in my view, a very sad moment for U.S. tax policy. I mean, to use the power of the Treasury to rewrite the rules, to undercut deals that were in play by U.S. corporations seems like a complete misuse of the tax code to me. We've got a tax code that is the problem. They should fix the problem, and business tax reform would be the way to do that. Until they do, we will continue to lose the headquarters. They might not be inversions. You know, our firms are going to go from predators to prey, and
Right. We've
already seen that.
Right.
We've seen them become targets of international acquisitions because they have valuable assets that are in a tax disadvantaged situation. You can buy them, get rid of the tax disadvantage, and raise the value. It's going to happen.
Well, and the thing that most Americans don't understand, I mean, this is a complicated subject for most Americans, but look, here's a real simple way of looking at it. Yeah, inversions are not great, but they're better than getting taken over because the company that gets taken over generally has their management sliced and employees lost, and those are high-paying jobs. With inversions, you generally keep the basis in the country.
It's absolutely on the mark. I mean,
yeah.
What an inversion really does is give a U.S. corporation access to its international earnings without the extra tax, and that's a good thing for the company. They can use that money to invest, often in the U.S., to hire, often in the U.S., do the R&D, which is in the U.S.
Right.
When you get taken over, none of that happens in the U.S.
Yeah, it all leaves the country. Well, you know, there's a lot of discussion in Congress right now over passing a tax extenders package. And, of course, we've got a subsequent threat from President Obama if it didn't include more funding for the EITC, which is the Earned Income Tax Credit. The Wall Street Journal this week put out an editorial saying that Congress should let all of this go and focus on reform. Does this situation with the tax extenders help or hurt overall tax reform?
I don't think it does either, quite frankly. This is an annual event where we sort of push these things out each year. And the trouble is there are two kinds of things in there. There is something which is very important like the R&E tax credit or something which helps investment like the enhanced depreciation. And then, you know, charitably, there's a lot of junk, you know, special favors, rifle shots, the kinds of things that every tax reform ought to get rid of. The goal was to take, like, the research and development tax credit or the enhanced depreciation, make them permanent. That would have isolated in the extenders the kinds of things that you really could go away, and then you could move on to tax reform.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're just, you know, one step back from that, and we'll have to do what we can in tax reform. But this spectacle needs to end. This is the clearest example that the tax code is broken. You shouldn't have $1 trillion up in the air every year.
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing. I mean, the tax extended package is about, over 10 years, it's about $450 billion approximately, depending on what's tossed in there. One of the things is, of course, is the wind subsidy of 2.3 cents per kilowatt hour that's created. But what most people don't know, and this is a great example of what you're talking about, hidden in there is that once you agree to it for 1 year, it extends for 10 years. So you're not just agreeing this year, it goes on for 10 years, unlike the R&D and enhanced depreciation. And again, all of those things, those specific, the R&D and enhanced depreciation, are really trying to be a, to use your terms, a Band-Aid to fix a really bad tax code.
Right. I mean, if we had an internationally competitive tax code, so a code that had a rate somewhere in the 20 to 25% rate, if we had a base that didn't include full taxation of all overseas earnings, we probably could handle the research and development costs without a special provision. But you can't stay internationally competitive without a lot of innovation, and you need the R&E credit to get that innovation, given that the rest of the code stacked against it. So, you know, it's time to stop the annual Band-Aid and fix the tax code itself.
Right. And one of the things about the taxation of overseas profits, I think Ryan's already – there's not Ryan per se, but there's some discussion of cutting that rate down to the level that you're talking about, and that's a good start. It's kind of dumb, though, because we still are taxing it too much. What's interesting to me and the people that I've talked to, Doug, CEOs of pharmaceutical companies have said, and tech firms have said, look, if you cut it from 35 down to 20, we'll bring most of that money back. And that's a tremendous amount of money that's sitting over there. I mean, I totally understand, and I always catch a lot of hard time from tax attorneys to say, you know, Andy, they can actually access that money, but not directly. They can access it in other ways. But being a University of Chicago guy, I want it the most efficient way, right? And,
of course.
And that's the best way of doing it. Let these companies do whatever the hell they want with their money.
The definition of bad tax policy is when firms are making decisions for tax purposes, not fundamental business purposes.
Right.
You want to have a tax code that supports the market-driven incentives and raises the revenue you need, so you interfere as little as possible. And so the University of Chicago got it right, and the tax attorneys got it wrong. I mean, we've got to fix this thing so that it benefits U.S. Companies that will benefit U.S. workers in those companies and the economy as a whole.
All right, well, listen, if you were just by chance whispering in Paul Ryan's ear, what would you tell him to focus on? I mean, you know, give me your top three things that you could abide by all the other crap that goes on with the horse trading that's going to go on with tax reform overall, but what are the top three things you have to have to say, yes, this is a good thing?
For me, number one is getting the rate down. We've got to get back in the race internationally. The second is, I have always been in favor of full expensing of investments. So the year in which the investment's made, you get to deduct the full value of the investment. Mm-hmm. If you do that, you'll drive the investment in research and development. You'll drive the investment in workers. You'll drive the investment in physical capital. You'll treat them all evenly. And so that's always been a key part of it for me. And then I think we have to get serious about the international tax regime. And you know, you look around the world and you have places where, like a patent box, where anything that comes out of a patent gets taxed at a 15% rate. We aren't even close to competing in the intangibles, the places where the pharmaceuticals and the tech companies are doing their real advances. And so those are the three things I'd work on. I'd work on the cost recovery, the treatment of the intangibles, and getting the rate down.
Okay, that's fantastic. All right, well, let me take you back to something that's really unpleasant, the lame duck Congress. what do you expect to happen here? I mean, they've got a continuing resolution bill, and they've got omnibus spending bills. You know, there's discussion about making a point to the president about immigration with a full year of funding of everything but Homeland Security. Should John Boehner be nervous that Harry Reid is supportive of this?
I think we should all be nervous about any lame duck Congress. I mean, this is never a good environment. Anything can happen. And the list of things that will get done is very short. You know, there will be a funding bill of some sort. They'll do a defense authorization. They'll get something done with these tax extenders. And they'll get terrorism risk insurance extended for some period, unknown. Might be quite short. And beyond that, all Harry Reid is interested in is judges, and they're going to confirm as many judges as they can. And that limits how much can get done. So my hope is these other pressures, executive action on immigration and the like, don't interfere with getting those four things done and getting them out of town. That would be ideal.
Yeah, it's good to get them out with doing as little damage as possible, right?
Yeah. I mean, we don't need extraneous issues getting dragged into the lame duck. Time's short, and these are always difficult issues to begin with, so let's just concentrate and get them done.
Well, speaking of time is short, this is getting towards the end of 2014, and 2015 is right around the corner. So, Doug, you're a really bright guy. You're in D.C., unfortunately, all the time, permanently. You've got your face stuck in a lot of stuff. But what, you know, tell me the top three areas you're going to be watching in the new year.
Oh, I think in the new year, you're going to look for progress on energy and sort of job creation bills. I think they're going to try to focus on some regulatory relief. Then you're going to have to worry about some things that have to get done. They have to do a budget. They've made a big deal about that. What will that look like? They have to raise the debt limit. They have to deal with the highway trust fund without fail. And those are automatic trigger points for, you know, sort of potential legislation, but also, you know, for them to get caught up. So how well they handle those, I think, are going to be the key.
And I guess with that, it's really a question of how much you're going to see any kind of compromise between Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, and President Obama.
The key dynamic politically will be in the Senate, and the question will be, can Mitch McConnell find the 6 to 10 to 12 Democrats who he can rely on to come over on bills and get bipartisan support? If they can get things out of the House through the Senate in that way, the president will feel obligated to sign them. We'll see some real progress. Now, I don't think any of those will be dramatic. We're not going to see, unwinding the Affordable Care Act or a big tax reform done in that way. But we'll see progress done in that way. And I think that's an important dynamic to look for.
All right. A little bit of optimism there. All right. Douglas Holtz-Eakin from American Action Forum, thanks for coming on today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Time for a snack break. I'm Andy Bush. You're listening to Engage.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
What makes great leaders? Results? A lasting legacy? Is it making a difference in your life? Or maybe the lives of others? I Lead, the Leadership Connection with host Dr. Linda Sharkey will bring you the practical tips and tools to make you an extraordinary leader. And by doing so, build a better, more successful, and more profitable organization. Our show is all about you, the leader that you can be, and the culture that you can create. Tune in to I Lead, the Leadership Connection, live every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Calling all CFOs, finance and risk professionals. Your call to action is to help your company achieve financial excellence. How? Master risk management, cost control, and strategic decision-making by implementing game-changing technology advances like mobile, in-memory, and cloud computing, and more. Where? Learn from top thought leaders each week on Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Join us for Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Business Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.